Glad to have you all here with us. What a great blessing to have our Sunday school kids sing to begin our service this morning. We're going to try and have them sing about once a month for the year, which will be a great blessing for us going forward as well. I want to welcome you to our service today. We'll follow the order that is listed in our bulletin, Divine Service Setting 3 on page 184 in your hymnal, page 184. Our opening hymn will be hymn 848 also. Lord, whose love through humble service, hymn 848. Before we begin our service, let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Lord, gracious Heavenly Father, there are so many people in need within our lives, our community, and our world. Set us free through your Son, Jesus Christ, to serve those in need in faith toward you and in fervent love towards them. Allow us to give of ourselves so that they might also be blessed and come to faith in you and in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died and rose to take away the sins of the world and sent the Holy Spirit to call us to faith. We ask that you would bless our service today and all that we do. In your holy, precious name we pray. Amen. We sing our opening hymn, 848, hymn 848.
service setting 3, page 184. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor and miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and I sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy and innocent prayers, sufferings, and death. This is a confession. I, by virtue of my office, as a called ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We now sing together the intro, as you find it in the front of your bulletin insert.
Lord, be to God on high. We praise thee, we bless thee, we glorify thee, we give thanks to thee, Lord.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray.
Almighty and everlasting God,
give us an increase of faith, hope, and charity, and that we may obtain what you have promised, make us love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for Scripture. The Old Testament reading for the 13th Sunday after Trinity is from 2 Chronicles, chapter 28. The men of Israel took captive 200,000 of their relatives, women, sons, and daughters. They also took much spoil from them and brought the spoil to Samaria. But a prophet of the Lord was there, whose name was Oded. And he went out to meet the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Behold, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, was angry with Judah, he gave them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that has reached up to heaven. And now you intend to subjugate the people of Judah and Jerusalem, male and female, as your slaves. Have you not sins of your own against the Lord your God? Now hear me, and send back the captives from your relatives whom you have taken, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." Certain chiefs also of the men of Ephraim, Azariah the son of Johanan, Berechiah the son of Meshillemoth, Jehizkiah the son of Shallum, and Amasa the son of Hadlai, stood up against those who were coming from the war and said to them, "You shall not bring the captives in here, for you propose to bring upon us guilt against the Lord in addition to our present sins and guilt. For our guilt is already great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the assembly. And the men who have been mentioned by name rose and took the captives. And with the spoil, they clothed all who were naked among them. They clothed them, gave them sandals, provided them with food and drink, and anointed them. And carrying all the feeble among them on donkeys, they brought them to their kinsfolk at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. This is the word of the Lord. We speak together the gradual as it's printed on your insert.
You are a God who works wonders. You have made known your might among peoples. You with your arm redeemed your people, the children of Jacob and Joseph.
The epistle is from Galatians chapter 3. To give a human example, brothers,
even with a man-made covenant, no one annuls it or adds to it once it has been ratified. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, "and to offsprings," referring to many, but referring to one, "and to your offspring, who is Christ." This is what I mean. The law, which came 430 years afterward, does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God so as to make the promise void. For if the inheritance comes by the law, it no longer comes by promise. But God gave it to Abraham by a promise. Why then the law? It was added because of transgressions, until the offspring should come to whom the promise had been made. And it was put in place through angels by an intermediary. Now an intermediary implies more than one, but God is one. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? Certainly not. For if a law had been given that could give life, then righteousness would indeed be by the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin, so that the promise of by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter. Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? How do you read it?' And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered correctly. Do this and you will live.' But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Jesus replied, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers, who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he journeyed, came to where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper, saying, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, I will repay you when I come back.' Which of these three, do you think, proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." This is the gospel of the Lord. We confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed on page 191. I believe in God,
Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God.
seated for the hymn of the day, number 683, Jesus, Thy Boundless Love to Me, number 683.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is from the gospel lesson just read, especially these words. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Dear friends in Christ, I'm sure you learned it in catechism class. The entire law can be summed up into two parts. The first part, love towards God. The second part, love towards neighbor. And when all of God's law is summed up in just those two ways, it sounds so simple, doesn't it? Seems like it should be easy. There's only two things to do, love God and love your neighbor. Surely, all of us could do that, right? You see, there's a problem. There's something else that we love, even more than God. There's something else that we love even more than our neighbor. And that something else is ourselves. We love ourselves most, more than anything else, really. We love ourselves, number one. In the dogmatics books, that's the very definition of sin, being turned inward upon oneself, being focused only on ourselves. It's been that way since sin entered the world a long time ago. When Adam and Eve gave up God's word for their own word, when Adam and Eve confessed that they trust themselves more than they trusted God. And really, it's the same in our gospel lesson for today. A lawyer comes to test Jesus. He wants to see if Jesus is a true Jew, if Jesus understands the law, if Jesus keeps the law. And as a lawyer does, he goes about it in a tricky sort of way, asking tricky questions. And as he asks the question, listen to what he says and see if you can discern where his focus is. He says, Jesus, what must I do? How can I inherit eternal life? The man is focused inward upon his own thoughts, his own actions, his own deeds. That's where he's looking for salvation. But Jesus doesn't play by those rules. So Jesus responds with his own tricky question. Jesus looks him square in the eye and says, what does the Bible say? Haven't you read it? Jesus drives him back to the Word. The man replies, of course, Jesus, I know the Bible. Of course, Jesus, I know what it says. I can even quote you chapter and verse. The Bible says, if you want to save yourself, you are to love both God and your neighbor. That's what the law says. Love God and your neighbor. Love is the way to save yourself. All you need is love, perfect love, complete love, total love. And if you can love in such a way, you'll save yourself. Jesus replies, you are correct if you do this, you will live. If can be such a terrifying word, because if gets to the heart of the matter, and the man understands this. He starts to go over all the events of his life. He starts to look in the rearview mirror and see how well he's done. Have I loved God? Have I loved my neighbor? He starts to work it all out. Well, I think I've loved God. After all, I go to church every week. Well, at least as often as anyone could be expected to go to church, at least more than the other people in my synagogue. So maybe I have the love of God down. I'll check that one off. But what about love of neighbor? Have I loved my neighbor? Have I loved them completely? Have I loved them totally? Who is my neighbor? This man starts to go through all the options that fall under the neighbor category. He feels like he's certainly shown love for those people who lived in his hometown. He'd been kind, he'd been friendly, he'd been courteous, he'd been nice. Maybe he'd love those people. But what about the Roman occupiers? The people who exacted tax from him and sent it off to a foreign power. The people who conquered by sword and power and destruction and siege equipment. Did he love those Roman occupiers? Did he have to love those Roman occupiers? What about the barbarian horde just over to the east a few miles in Parthia, who oftentimes invaded on horseback and stole money and food and goods and took them back to their homeland? Did he love them? Did he have to love them? What about those living far off in Spain or China or India? He didn't even know those people. Never seen one in his life. Did he have to love those people? Or just the ones that he knew? It's an important question. If you are saved by loving your neighbor, who is your neighbor? If you don't know who your neighbor is, you don't know if you've loved them. And so now the man asks another question of Jesus. And this time he's not seeking an answer, but as the Bible says, he's seeking to justify himself. In other words, he's seeking an answer that means he can say to everyone around, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I've done enough. I know that I've kept God's law. So he seeks an answer from Jesus. Who is my neighbor? Who do I have to love? Because I don't have time or energy to love everyone. Jesus responds with our famous parable about a man who was walking from Jerusalem to Jericho and was robbed upon the road, beat up on the road, left for dead, lying in the ditch. As he lays there, suffering, bleeding, and dying, a priest walked by, saw him, passed on the far side of the road, and ignored his cries for help. A little while later, a Levite, one of the members of the holy house of the priests of Israel, also passed by, also saw him, also crossed on the far side of the road and ignored his cries. But finally, a Samaritan, a person who was despised by the Jewish people, who was called a half-breed Jew, who worshipped differently, in a different place, in a different way. He stops to help the injured man. He lifts the injured man out of the ditch and places him upon his own donkey. He leads the injured man to a hotel. He pays for a room. He calls a doctor to visit. He pays for medicine, and he promises that when he returns, he will pay whatever other expenses have been incurred for this man to recover. A good Samaritan takes care of this man in need. And so it is that we learn who a neighbor is. A neighbor is not just a person whose property abuts yours. A neighbor is not just someone living in your own neighborhood or town. A neighbor is not just your fellow Lincolnites. It's not even just your fellow Good Shepherdians. Is that how we say it? A neighbor is something more. A neighbor is anyone whom God has placed in your life, who either has mercy on you in your time of need, or upon whom you show mercy in their time of need. Neighbors, have mercy on one another. Now, dear friends, now that we know what a neighbor is, it leaves us two options within our own hearts and lives and minds that we can logically go in answer to this man's question, who is my neighbor? Have I saved myself? Have I done enough to go to heaven? The first thing we could do is to lie to ourselves and say, oh yes, I am holy. I care for those in need, even in faraway places like Omaha, Kansas City, or Boulder, Colorado. I love all my neighbors in China, Africa, Canada even. I love all my neighbors. I fulfill the law. Look how good I am. Surely I'll be in heaven. We could say that, but it'd be a lie. For we have fallen short. We failed. We haven't loved as God wishes. So rather, we ought to take the second option and tell the truth about ourselves. Speak what God says to confess and say, I love mostly myself. I love mostly my own desires. I, like the Levite and the priest in the parable, drive by on the other side of the road when someone I don't know has a flat. I, like the Levite and the priest, turn a blind eye to those people who are truly in need around me. I haven't fulfilled God's law of love. I haven't been perfect. In fact, I have been downright lousy at loving the people God places in my life. And when we confess that truth, we cry out to God for mercy. Lord, have mercy upon me. Christ, have mercy upon me. Lord, have mercy upon me. You see, we cannot inherit eternal life based on our own merit because we've already fallen short. There's nothing that we can do to save ourselves from God's wrath and punishment. We even say it in the small catechism, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. I cannot save myself because my sin is too great. I cannot save myself because I love myself more than God, and more than neighbor. Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. And when we speak the truth, it's only then that we realize how amazing and loving our God is. There is one who truly loves perfectly, even more so than the Good Samaritan from today's parable. The Good Samaritan gives to the injured man of his own money and time and care and compassion. But there's one who gives even more, and that one is Jesus, who also gives us life, life to the full, who also gives us forgiveness, salvation, peace, and comfort forever. We look to Jesus, who's not just a good Samaritan, but he is the best neighbor that we could possibly have. You see, that's the whole point of our entire gospel lesson for today. It's not only some tome that tells you, you better go out there and love your neighbor. It does say that, yes. But it also points out how far short of that law we have fallen. So that when knocked to our knees, when cut to the heart by God's word, we can look to Jesus and see how he serves us first. How he gives of himself, how he takes away our sin by bleeding, suffering, and dying on a cross. How he has risen from the dead and promised that we too shall live forever. It focuses our eyes on Christ, who gives us all that we need to support our body and life for as long as it exists in this world. We look to Jesus, who redeemed us from the world, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and suffering and death. We look to Jesus, who sends the Holy Spirit to call us out of our sin by the power of his word, who declares our sins are all forgiven in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We look to Jesus, who feeds us with his body and blood, who washes away all of our sin in baptism. We look to Jesus because everything hangs on him and on his word. He is our good neighbor. And in him, we are healed. The Good Samaritan poured oil and wine upon the wounded. Jesus pours water and the word, sending the Holy Spirit to create faith in us, faith that looks to Jesus, faith that clings to his promises. The Good Samaritan bought food and supplies to feed the wounded man. Jesus gives us his own body and blood to eat and drink for forgiveness, life, and salvation, so that we might live not just for a few decades, but forever. The Good Samaritan took the wounded man to a hotel. Jesus promises to prepare a place where mold and age cannot destroy. He goes to prepare a place so that we might be where he is forever and participate in the marriage feast of the Lamb, which has no end. The Good Samaritan showed compassion on the wounded man. Jesus shows compassion to you and promises that every hurt he will one day take away. Every pain he will heal. Every tear he will wipe away. Jesus is the true good neighbor. And now what? The truth is that once we realize all the things that God has done for us in Jesus, we are set free. Free to have mercy on those people around us because He first had mercy on us. We're free to show love to people in Omaha, Kansas City, Boulder, Colorado, Africa, Spain, India, and all the world because Christ first showed love to us and drug us out of the ditch of sin into eternal life. We're free to show compassion to the person sitting down the pew who's struggling because God has already had compassion on us. He's given us everything, so we have plenty to share. We're free to visit with, to feed, to love the person whose loved one has been taken from this veil of tears because Christ has given us all. We have plenty to spare. We're free to feed the hungry because we know Christ will always care for us. We're free to give of our money, our time, our compassion because we know Christ has given us everything. And whatever we give, He will restore. Who is your neighbor? First and foremost, it's Jesus, who gives everything necessary to you to support your life, not just now, but forever. And after that, we're free to love those that God places in our life. We're free to have mercy. We're free to let others have mercy on us. We're free to live as Christians, redeemed by Christ, who went to the cross and rose from the dead for us and for our salvation. Jesus is our good neighbor, for He had mercy on us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We continue our service now with the offertory found on page 192 in your hymnal, page 192. Please stand as we sing. You may be seated. This time we invite all of you to participate in what we call the Rite of Fellowship. There's a pad at the end of each pew. Visitors, if you'll write your name down there so we can acknowledge your presence with us this morning. We also want to welcome all those listening and following along on the radio. We pray the service has been a blessing for you. This time also we'll collect our gifts and offerings. Continue with the prayer of the church. Please stand. In addition to those prayer requests listed in our bulletin, we have several additional prayer requests. We pray for Gloria Pospisil dealing with some health issues. We pray for the family of Chucky Chapman, a cousin of Karen Kamen, who passed away this past week. We also pray for Karen Kamen's father's cousin's family, Hilda Kamen, who passed away last week in Avoca. And we also pray for the family of Dean Schmeling, brother of Alvin Schmeling, who passed away this past week as well. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks for all of your goodness, and we bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your holy church, for the means of grace, and for the lives of all faithful and just people, and the hope of the life that is to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all the many things that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy. Save and defend your whole church, purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Strengthen your faithful people through the word and holy sacraments, that they may be perfect in love and in all good works, that we may have mercy upon our neighbors in need and establish in them the faith once delivered to the saints. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your wisdom and grace to all pastors and to those who hold office in your church, that by their devoted service faith may abound and your kingdom increase. Lord, in your mercy. Send the light of your truth into all the earth. Raise up faithful servants of Christ to advance the gospel both at home and in distant lands. Lord, in your mercy. Preserve our and justice and honor, that we can lead peaceful lives with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of Nebraska, and to all of those who make, administer, judge, and enforce our laws. Help them to serve this people according to your holy will. Lord, in your mercy. Take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all people. Lord, in your mercy. Bless the schools of the church and all colleges and universities and centers of research and all of those who teach and work in them. Bless especially Good Shepherd Lutheran School. Grant your wisdom in such measure that people may serve you honorably in church and state, and that our common life may be conformed to the ways of your truth. Lord, in your mercy. Sanctify our homes with your presence and bless them with joy. Keep our children in their baptismal grace. Enable parents to teach the faith to their children so they might be brought up in lives of faith and devotion. Unite the members of all families in a spirit of affection and love, that they may show your praise in our land and throughout the world. Lord, in your mercy. By your word and spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or adversity, especially those in our own midst, including Gloria, Ben, Barb, Rebecca, Ralph, Ruth, Gerald, Stacy, Haley, Tom, Michael, Rita, Harlan, Dennis, Norma, Julie, Myron, and all others whom we name in our hearts. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near, and bring consolation to those in sorrow who mourn the loss of loved ones, including the family of Chucky Chapman and the family of Hilda Kamen and the family of Dean Schmeling, the family of Scott Schlatter, the family of Loretta Rivland, and the family of Marlene McClellan. Take them all into your tender care and mercy. Lord, in your mercy. all of these things and whatever else you know that we need. Grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit as one God, now and forever.
Amen.
This time we continue with the service of the sacrament on page 194.
The Lord be with you.
With thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It
is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. We stand and sing the Nunc Dimittis. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord be with you. Bless we the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. We sing our closing hymn, hymn 691. You may be seated.
Thank you.
morning. Glad to have you all here with you, with us. We'll draw your attention to the news and notes there. A couple announcements to bring to your attention. You'll see September 18th, there's a play date for moms and kids with information on the back page of your bulletin. Take a look at that. Also, we have next Sunday a lunch for college students following the 10:30 service, kind of an opportunity for us to hopefully give you a home-cooked meal and the opportunity to not eat dorm food and just get to know each other a little better. So that'll be following worship next week on the 22nd. If you're interested in helping, talk to my wife and she'll find a thing for you to do or bring or things like that. Also, you'll see we have a Red Cross blood drive coming up October 19th. And so that is from 8 until 2. The same time, we have a African Violet sale, which will be in room 106, so also put that on your calendar as well. In the back, there is a lost and found table with quite a few things that have been found in the last year or so. If you want to take a look at that and anything that's yours, feel free to take it. I suppose if it's there next week and it's not yours, maybe not. But take a look at that and make sure we get everything squared away in that regard. There's a couple other announcements in your bulletin to take a look at. We do have our Bible study this evening at 7 o'clock at Concordia Seward. Thursday we have Lifelight Bible study as well. Wednesday evening we have Bible study at the Vicar, so lots of opportunities for studying God's Word this week. Anything else that I'm forgetting? You're not Pastor Poppy. Yeah. Pastor Poppy is on vacation visiting grandkids. He should be back in the office tomorrow, but a good opportunity for him to get away and to enjoy some time with family as well. Yeah, should we say you're better looking than Pastor Poppy, or how do you... I'll let you say whatever you want to in that regard. Anything else that we've forgotten? God's blessings on your week.